beautiful, Becky. I do love that.
Men can be like this a lot. I don't want you to think that I made a bad choice. I don't want you to think I chose wrong. I don't want you to think I did poorly. I don't want you... There's a pride in that. And sometimes you get to points in your life and it's like the It's a Wonderful Life movie. Mm-hmm. You can't see the impact you've had or the value you've had. You just, in your mind, I've failed. I'm not doing well. I've let people down. And we get like that. And there's a reason that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, is so powerful. It's really because we're like that. Mm-hmm. I want to be, but you know, usually we don't have a perspective that's out here looking at how the impact you've had, a moment you've had, a word you said, and I guess you go watch It's a Wonderful Life again. still thinking about, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about, you guys were gone, Angel and Becky, but kind of a little bit into the why of Christmas and why he came, and talked about God writing himself into our story through Jesus, and why Jesus, right? Which was coming to show us what God's really like. And so I guess I'm still on that vein of why Christmas. That's probably why we were talking last night at the dinner table about why Advent? Why are we doing these things? And if we were to sit here, for me, when I think Christmas, I think memories of family. Yeah. I think things we did, things, ways we celebrated it, traditions we had. we go out of our way to connect with family. A lot of people are on the road. They're you know, being intentional to be with family, siblings, or they're just things you're doing. We think family, and that's appropriate, right? Because, you know, God first and foremost, it's a father and son, a father and a son, and who he's loved for eternity, right? You've got this that we talk about, that the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and this like this right. This intimate face to face communion. And but is it this eternal purpose was to invite you, sons and daughters, into that celebration of family, into that ring of family. And the coolest part of the story is, wow, we have free access to him. and the cool part is he put all things in heaven are in that circle. And oh, by the way, he's over all those things, and we get to be with him, looking from this heaven's perspective down on those things. That's why we can pray against sickness. That's why we can curse depression. That's why we can clobber fear, right? Because you're from this heaven's perspective, which is all those things are under his feet. So the real significance of Christmas, Christ's birth, is your adoption into that family. It's the real reason, the real why, the real oh my gosh, I'm his kid, I'm loved by him. There's this, and you need to get it, by the way. There's the opening scene of a Christmas Carol, right? Angel's got umpteen versions of it at home. Right? Dickens wrote it. The whole show, the whole story starts with, oh, what's his partner's name? Morley.
Bob, right? Marley.
Marley, right. He's dead. Mm-hmm. Harley is dead. And it talks about that, but there's this quote in that thing. It says, he says, "And this must be distinctly understood, or nothing wonderful can come from the story I'm going to relate."
That Marley says that?
Dickens says that in the story. That. You need to know this, because if you don't get this, then you're going to miss the story. So, this thing about Jesus and the lie, it's like, you need to get this, or you're going to miss the wonderful story. Right? So, Paul says this, thinking of Advent, in Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Now, I close my Bible before I put a marker in it. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7. I would tell you it's the story of Advent. Reading out of Passion Translation. "So it is with us. When we were juveniles," how about this? When we were kids, when we were children, we didn't know anything. "We were enslaved under the hostile spirits of the world. But when that era came to an end and the time of fulfillment had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the written law. Yet all of this was so that he would redeem and set free all those held hostage to the written law, so that we would receive our freedom and a full legal adoption as his children. So that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, 'My Father, you're our true Father.' Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has. For we're heirs of God through Jesus, the Messiah."
Wow.
Yay, Christmas. It's like, why Jesus? So I want to go back to those verses. We look at 3 through 7. Because the first thing we see is that humankind had to grow up before Christ could come. It says here, "When we were juveniles," that's how Paul describes it. You look at that word, it's like, when we were little children, untaught, unskilled, unknowing, right? I think it's interesting when you look at the Bible and the whole context of how it's presented to us, right? We see Jesus come in the New Testament, the Gospels. It's like, you see this wandering, lost people. And I say lost, they're messed up lost. I mean, they're doing, their hearts are searching for God, but there's hundreds of gods. And they're doing stupid things, really, really stupid things that are cutting and killing and hurting and destroying. And you see this trajectory of God when he brings the law, but when he brings the law, it's like incubating them from their own stupid and unknown. The law is like, I told you before, it's like a playpen for the children. It's a safe place where they're not going to break things and hurt things and get into trouble, right? And he protects them. It's almost like isolating them and leading them into this place of the introduction of Jesus, right? Brings them out of pagan worship. In Galatians in chapter 3, I just read 4, Galatians 3:19. Do I want to go back and read it? Oh, it says when we were, why was the law given? It was to be this intermediary agreement added after God gave the promise of the coming one. Mm. It was given to show men how guilty they are. It remained in force until the seed was born to fulfill the promise, until Jesus came.
Mm. So good.
Right? God gave the law. He didn't give them directly, for he gave it first to the angels, then gave it to Moses, then he gave it to his people. Right? And then God fulfilled it all by himself. Anyway.
What were those verses?
Galatians 3, 19 to 25.
Would you mind just reading that over again?
Yeah. And I just turned my page.
The law they're referring to are the Ten Commandments? The laws that God...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The playpen.
Okay, not the laws that... The hundreds of laws that were...
Right, were added.
Okay.
But God's protecting us, right? Nurturing us, incubating us, keeping us safe, right? We're so lost here. We're so lost. We're so confused in our minds. We're so confused. It's like, it says he's going to keep us safe until the testimony of Jesus comes. That's what he's saying here. That was why the law. Right? So that was part one we read in Galatians 4:3. When we were juveniles, we were kids. Right, we were untaught. Angel could probably sit here and talk about that, about the old man, new man. Here, when I was a child, I thought this way. And a man, I thought this way. Before I knew him, I thought this way. Now that I know him, I think this way. Right, I'm dead. I'm dead to that. Now God saved me. Now I'm new to this. Right. But he says, second, we were juveniles and we were enslaved under the hostile spirits of the world. Right? Jesus came to free us from the hostile spirits. In fact, Paul talks about it as the God of this age. Right? The enemy comes to blind your hearts, to keep you away from your encounter. Right? He's a master at deception, all destined to avoid you from connecting with him. So, yeah, that's hostile. And we get trapped by it, and we get enslaved by it, we get held back by it, we get crushed by it, right? And Scripture says that Jesus Christ, the truth, right, came to free us from that. He's the light and the life. John 14 tells us, he came. Why Jesus? Why did he come? He came to reveal the Father. He came to unveil the truth about God. He came to unveil the truth about us. He came to unveil the truth about the world. John 18 in the Passion says, "I've come into this world to prove what truth really is. And everyone who loves the truth will receive my words." Let me read it out of the mirror. I like Francois Duclos, how he reads it, that same verse. He says, "Until this moment, God remained invisible to man. Now the authentic begotten, the blueprint of man's design, who represents the innermost being of God, the Son, who's in the bosom of the Father, brings him into full view." Yay, Christmas. He's the official authority qualified to announce God. He's our guide who accurately declares and interprets the invisible God in us. Yay, Jesus. So when we open our hearts to receive Jesus, right, it's like you stepped into the room and the lights came on. Does that mean you know everything?
No.
There's a lot of dark corners in the room still. So part of my journey is lights on and corners, right? And sometimes I don't like God to see my mess. Maybe another squirrel. But so how do I get my corners exposed? How do I deal with stuff I swept under the rug? This says in also in 1 John that it says we grow in this light. We grow in this light in the corners when we walk in this life of God with others. Right? 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What's it doing? Taking away blinders. It's opening us up to him, the hostile voice of the world. You don't get a talk. It's him. Right? So third, right? So we're juveniles. It says, Paul says, we were enslaved to the hostile spirits. Third, he says, and when the time came, God sent his son born of a woman. Part of me thinks, aren't we all born of women? It's meant to signify Jesus had no earthly father. He really is the only begotten Son of God, right? The eternal Christ who was with Father from the beginning. Right? So Jesus is like uniquely qualified to introduce us to the Father. He's uniquely qualified because he was like of the three in one, of the Trinity, right? So if we were kids, stupid kids, stupid, I know, living in darkness, enslaved under hostile spirits. When the time came, God sent Jesus. Right, and then the fourth thing, it's like the ultimate purpose of, okay, why did Jesus come, right? And Paul tells us here in Galatians, it's like God's ultimate purpose was your adoption. Adopting us as his children, right? It says that God released this spirit of sonship in our hearts. And it moved us instantly in our spirits to cry out. You know, it's like, I think scripture says, Abba. It's like, Daddy, you're my true father. It's like all of a sudden I'm connecting with, here's who I am, right? And God's no longer some distant,
right.
What's the word, Danny? Just a deity that I have to appease through pick your flavor of pagan worship, I guess, right? Through some sort of brutal sacrifice kind of thing. I don't have to hide behind fig leaves kind of thing. I'm not afraid of being crushed by, you know, this brutal hand, right? He's dad. He's father. He's like this one who knows me better than I know myself. He loves me more than I can't even get my head around how much he loves me. And I'm not an orphan. I'm not alone. I'm right. And he, not only that, he says, I want to make my home right here. And we were kids that didn't know anything. We're blinded with this hostile spirit in me trying to take us away from connection with him. Jesus was introduced at the perfect time, right? As the perfect revealer of the Father. He reveals himself because it's like, I want you to know you're my kids, right? And then, but lastly, it's like, what does that get me? I'm his kid. What's that get me? Tells us, right, at the last part of verse 7, Galatians 3, 4, verse 7, it says, and because we're his, we can access everything our Father has. We're heirs of God through Jesus, the Messiah. You can write checks on his account, so to speak. You speak with his authority. You speak with the Father's voice. He said, go do business in my name. I'm his representative. So we access this life, right, by opening up our hearts to Jesus, Christ in us, right? And we practice like this walk of living by faith, right? The light comes on when I said yes to Jesus, and I'm learning, I'm slowly growing up to more light, more light, more light. And so there's all the cobwebs of fear and anxiety being pushed out as, right? It says his love is greater than all fear. It conquers all fear. It's and perfect love casts out all fear, right? And so what's happening? It's like the Grinch story. What's happening? It's like it's swelling inside of me. Your heart is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's like that it's literally the other can't stay. It can't be in that same place. It's actually getting pushed out, right? Scripture says we're going from glory to glory. I believe that's a picture of, you know, the Grinch heart is a picture of like growing glory to glory. Why? Because we've talked about glory. What is it? It's like it's that essence, that spirit, that heaven thing inside of us that's revealing the Father. It's pointing to the Father. It's appreciating, honoring the right. It's like so. What's happening inside of me as I love like Bishop Nicholas, Saint Nicholas? It's like, oh my goodness, you love so well. Or it's like the one who prays for the sick. Oh my goodness, look at you. And every encounter in Starbucks and Walmart. Oh man, I want to be like Becky. And all right. And so more and more of us, we look more like him. We act more like him. We talk more like him. We smell like him. We walk in the room and the room changes. Mm. The atmosphere of the room just shifted because you walked in the room. Right? Why? Because light's in you. Life's in you. Love's in you. Right? Christ in you. All of a sudden, you're the same Jesus that caused the dead to rise. It's in you. And so you come in, and guess what's happening in that room? That place. Your bubble, right? So the implications of being filled with him, fully inhabited, like we sang, fully inhabit me in this moment. It's like, it's mind-boggling. That art, Becky, is from a book cover that Chris Vallotton wrote called The Supernatural Ways of Royalty. It's like this, what if I actually woke up to thinking that same way he thinks I should be thinking, right, you know, right. And I wake up to this powerful me inhabited by him. I make different decisions. I'll leave it at that, right? Because of Christ, right? Because of Jesus, yay Christmas, right? Why we celebrate Christmas? We now have access to everything God has, right? So one of my favorite sweet spots of scripture, John, 16, 17, 18, he says, verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So we're walking into this Christmas relationship of being fully inhabited by Jesus. Mm. And the Holy, and the Spirit's promise is this: I'm going to, just what Jesus knows, I'm going to release to you. I'm going to make Father fully known to you. And I would say, to me, that's the ultimate why, the ultimate meaning of Christmas. Christ came a couple weeks ago, we talked about this, why? To show us what, who God is really like. Here's the Father, right? Not according to our whatever imaginations that have lots of religion on them, based in fear and separation, but what's he really like? And remember I said, if it's not like Jesus, it's not like God. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like Jesus, it doesn't sound like God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right? So if God, Jesus came to show us who God's like, the Father's like, came to free us from bondage, in order that we would be his, could be his kids. We'd wake up to this awareness, we're his children. So we would walk in this connection with him, this oneness with him. Partakers, Peter said, partakers of the divine nature. Right? Which means all that the Father has is ours. We have full access to life, to light, the ultimate reality. And from that place, yeah, I would say that's where never-ending joy hangs out. So you want to think about joy to the world?
Joy.
Yeah, that's where joy hangs out, in that place of one with him.
So good.
So with that, we just, God, we're ready for Christmas. Mm-hmm. We're ready for you. We're ready for Holy Spirit. God, you're reminding us who we are. You're reminding us why you came. You're reminding us this morning we're your kids. You're reminding us that we have full access to you. You're reminding us this morning that we get to invade and come and take things from heaven's warehouses for problems. Heaven has an answer for sickness. Heaven has an answer for financial need. Heaven has an answer for the this is impossible questions and problems. Heaven has an answer for every relational crisis. Everything is found in heaven, God, and we get to walk into those warehouses, those storehouses, and access, God, heaven's response. So I would just say thank you this morning for Jesus. Thank you for Christmas morning and the gift of who you are. Mm. And today we're just reminded, God, that we are so grateful that we get to be one with you. In Jesus' name, mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.